ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to The Fringe of It,
episode number 34.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Little emails. Sorry.
I thought you were
emails telling. Are now. No, you little email. You emails are now closed. No, I'm fine. I'm feeling a bit sluggish, I think is the only way I could describe it. I just want to hibernate like the bear on the old John Lewis advert.
Do you reckon it's because December is on the horizon?
I don't know. I think I was just thinking I've been so busy that I have a bit of a quiet period. I mean, I have things to do, but because I'm not, you know, when you, that phrase, you know, if you want something done, ask a busy person.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So when I was busy, it was fine. And now that I can kind of see a few gaps here and there, I'm like, well, maybe I could just sit down for an extra half an hour.
I know. I think that's the thing. I had a mad couple of weeks that I just couldn't, you know, see that. I was trying to think, I nearly invented a phrase then, and I was like,
go on, what was it? Because I always get mine jumbled
this,
up.
This would be a real Charlotte phrase. I nearly couldn't see the smoke through the water.
Oh wow, yeah, that's such a Charlotte phrase. In fact, I'm surprised I've never actually said that.
I think it's a combination of all of my favorite phrases. My feet hadn't touched the ground is what I probably should have said, and now this week is still busy, but I've been at home quite a lot, and now I'm just like plodding around, and I'm like, hang on, no.
It is a weird feeling, isn't it?
It's really strange. But what have you been up to?
Well, what have I been up to? Mainly watching TV, so I need to save it mostly for telly chat. But I do think since it's got darker, I have become lazier, because I just keep thinking, oh, do I need to go out there? Do I need to go outside? And in the summer, you know, I'd be outside in the garden till 9 o'clock. Now it gets to 5 o'clock and I'm like, well, that's me done for the night. I might as well put my pyjamas on.
I know, today it got dark so early. And honestly, we took Maggie for 3:15 because we were like, we need to walk her when it's still light. As soon as I get back, I think, oh, I'm finished now. I want to be finished. But I've still got way more to do. So it feels like you're working through the night.
It's actually 5:05.
I know, I'm so dramatic. We're working through the night here, people.
But yeah, that's mainly what I've been doing, just watching TV. So I'll have to save all that for telly chat. What have you been up to? Anything more exciting?
Well, I've had a very busy week with different projects. I stayed in a very lovely hotel in London called The Kimpton and felt like a princess. I think sometimes I have these real pinch me moments with my job, when it doesn't feel like a job and I feel very, very spoiled, and that was definitely one of them. And like you, I've been watching a lot of TV and getting behind on a lot of TV already and getting quite stressed about it.
I feel like there genuinely needs to be a spreadsheet, because things are only going to get more frantic in the telly department. Do you know what? I'm just going to introduce Telly Talk and then we can just go for it.
Joe's dad is really good at this. Shout out to John Galvin here, because he is amazing at planning television and what is on TV. He maps out his television watching, and it's one thing I hope that when I marry into the family, it becomes a bigger part of my life.
I do think you do need something in print, though, to be able to plan effectively.
Oh.
That's maybe we should purchase the Radio Times for the festive period, because you can actually see what's happening on all the channels.
Radio Times honestly comes up in my browser because I use it so much on my phone, because sometimes I'm just like, well, what is on tonight? But now that one certain thing is on every single night at 9 p.m, I don't even need to check.
Right, okay, let's go for it. How's it been? How is a celebrity get me out of here? I didn't even say it right.
A celebrity.
I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Just a celebrity, get me out of here. I love it. I love Holly on it. Obviously, it's not the same as Ant, but I think she's amazing. She's doing such a brilliant job and her outfits are stellar. I've been really loving her. I love everyone in the camp. There's not really anyone that I'm just... I think sometimes there's years where I'm like, oh, you're a bit irritating. But this year, I love Anne. I really love Harry as well. Didn't think I'd say that, but I think he's hilarious. Have you been watching it?
No, not for me. Really? Not for me. Do you know why? The challenges. I cannot. Which one did I see?
I should have known.
Oh, that's right. Because I watched Gogglebox. So they put one on there and there was a girl. Oh, where was she from? You'll be able to tell me. And she basically went in a box with snakes and then they switched the lights off.
Emily Atack. She's an actress in The Inbetweeners.
Yes, her.
Yeah,
yes.
I thought so.
And honestly, it was during Gogglebox. And I can't even think what she had to do. But at the end, she was in a box with loads of snakes on her and then they switched the lights out and I lost it. I just don't know how people do it. So I can't watch it because the challenge, it's just not for me.
It's just really not for you.
But she did very well.
Oh, I really, really love it. I love routine with television. I love knowing there's something on TV every night at one time because I feel like with Love Island, it gives me, maybe I need an I'm a Celebrity minute.
Okay, we can introduce it next week.
Okay.
Because I will not be watching it.
But I feel like it gives me a real reason to switch off in the evenings, having something on every night. I'm such a
loser. Fair enough.
Such a loser. What have you been watching?
Oh, what have I been watching? I've got such the list here. Right. Firstly, we've not spoken since the Christmas adverts debut. John Lewis in particular.
We haven't, have we?
We haven't officially done a debrief on the podcast. It was a thumbs up and a flood of tears from me.
Oh, I love it. It's been a real grower on me, actually. I didn't dislike it when I saw it. But I think I came at it from a bit of a cynical point of view where when I first watched it, I was a bit like, because I was thinking of the tour.
I had a lot of my mind that was Elton John based.
All I kept thinking was, oh, it feels like a tour promo. But now I just see it for what it is. And now it's beautiful.
I love Elton John. I'm a diehard fan. So I have my blinkers on when it comes to criticism. I mean, obviously, if you're not an Elton John fan, you're not going to like it. It's not Christmassy enough. It did get slated on Gogglebox, which I was not happy about. I just thought it was beautiful. I cried and I cried and I cried some more. And then people on Twitter were like, they didn't even sell pianos. So do you know what I did? I replied to every single person that said this with a link.
Oh, did you? Were you like, this is John Lewis? Were you like, I've got this, guys. I'm taking on the responsibility of the marketing team and I've got this.
I just don't know what was wrong with me. I wasn't trolling people. I just replied with the link and just left it there.
That's so funny. That is so funny. Also, can we talk about the Sainsbury's advert?
Can we just, the plug, I cannot stop watching The GIF.
I haven't seen The GIF. I've seen the interview with the plug. Have you seen that?
Yeah, with Plug's mum.
Yeah.
And just the way they put Plug's mum.
Oh, genius. Genius idea.
So I watched the behind the scenes after watching the advert about 400 times because the advert, the Sainsbury's advert, if anybody hasn't watched it, or anybody who's in another country that just thinks, what are we talking about? Go on YouTube and it's a thing in the UK every year and we're just quite obsessed with Christmas adverts. But the making of it doesn't really tell you how the plug gets in the socket. Jack's theory is that it's filmed backwards.
Oh, very
well, it's not filmed. Well, yeah, no, it's filmed backwards. And then because I have watched that time and time and time again. And it just makes no kind of gravital sense, if that's even a phrase.
I feel like we need to recreate it.
Well, somebody said to me on Instagram, and sorry that I've forgotten who it was, but she said, wouldn't you be so proud if June came home in a few years' time and said that she'd got the role of the plug?
Oh,
in the
you would, wouldn't you? I was Mary, but it's not a plug.
I don't even think I made it onto stage. I think I was in charge of a triangle.
Although I did have nits, and apparently my mum was watching and she was just mortified that I'd picked up knits in time for my stage debut.
Oh no, were you next to Joseph? Did you give Joseph knits?
No, I don't think so. Apparently I was scratching a lot under my tea towel and my mum was like, just stop scratching.
Oh no.
Oh, that's what fame does to you. It just gives you knits and it...
I am dreading the day that June comes home with knits, but that's not for a few years. But what else I loved about that advert, I think my top three performers were the plug is number one.
Yeah.
Number two is the bauble that runs down the aisle.
Yeah, I love the bauble.
Did you see her on the behind the scenes where she falls over and she's just literally rolling around and her arms and her legs won't touch the floor?
I haven't. No, I will watch that afterwards though.
Comedy gold. And then number three for me is the queen in the telly.
What about the gravy boat?
But is the gravy boat a person?
It doesn't. Does it matter?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but technically that's an inanimate object, so that would have to be on a separate poll ranking.
Okay, I feel like after the John Lewis advert came out, I fell into a hole. I do this every single year of watching all the previous John Lewis adverts and just...
Oh, there was a fantastic, I did exactly the same. I think it was a BuzzFeed article and it ranked them and there were some real arguments in this house. I'm literally going to have to get the article up now. Hang on. Moz the Monster, was never a big fan of that one.
Wasn't my fave.
The Boy and the Piano, that's the Elton John one. And then we've got The Bear and the Hare.
Love that. I remember where I was when I first saw that.
Where were you?
I was in Cardiff.
Buster the Boxer.
Oh, that was very cute. The trampoline scene is unforgettable.
Unforgettable. The Long Wait, which is the one where the little boy can't wait to give his present.
Oh, I think I remember that. I might need more detail.
He kept like really counting down and it was featuring a cover of The Smiths, Please, Please, Please Let Me Get One.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Monty the Penguin. That was actually ranked number one, which for me,
I put that either one or two with The Man on the Moon.
What, Man on the Moon is your number one?
Potentially. Oh, no, odd second. It's between those two.
Mine is Man on the Moon. Oh, that's my number one.
Oh, that every time. All I've got here is the first piano notes and I'm off.
Yeah, I've got shivers. I mean,
I have as well. And do you know, it was my friend's first dance as well this year at her wedding. And it was, well, the Beatles. And all I kept thinking of...
Not the Man on the Moon.
Not the Man on the Moon. And I just kept thinking of the advert as well. So I was getting like tears from all... parts. Like I was getting wedding related tears, I was getting John Lewis advert tears. It was very overwhelming.
Oh, so Tom O'Dell was the Beatles Real Love and that was Monty the Penguin, and then the Man
that's
on the Moon.
That's it.
Yeah, the Man on the Moon.
That was Half the World Away, wasn't it?
The official Fringe of It number one John Lewis advert after this year's is
Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon.
With a close second. By Monty the Penguin.
Okay, but where would we rank this year's? I mean, this year's for me is number one, but that's, I'm an Elton obsessive.
I think we need to put it at two just because to balance out. I love Elton John, but...
Okay, we'll talk about this off there.
Potentially given John Lewis adverts a big slot in today's podcast. So I think we should move on to... Is there anything else you've watched?
I have watched so many things, so I'm going to have to do it really quickly.
Okay.
I've watched three incredible, incredible films. First of all...
Charlotte, you're going to have to hold back. I mean, I can't believe you've watched so many. We've got a guest as well today.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I've not bought a lot, so it's fine.
Okay.
So I watched Black Klansman. I don't know if you say Black KKK Klansman or Black Klansman. The Spike Lee film. We finally got to the cinema to see it. It was like one of the few cinemas left. Because it's been out for ages and it was just the most powerful film. I knew we had to watch it. I knew it was kind of culturally so important. But anybody who's not seen it, do go and watch it. Well, it's probably out on DVD now. I mean, honestly, it's been out for ages, but we just haven't had the babysitting opportunity. And it's based on a true story and it is about a guy called Ron Stallworth. He's played by John David Washington, and he's a black police officer in the 70s, and he sees an advert for the Ku Klux Klan meeting, the branch in the local area. And then he decides that he's going to infiltrate the Ku Klux Klan. So the way that it works is there's him and then there's Adam Driver. And Ron the character's name, Stallworth, speaks to the KKK on the phone. And obviously he can't turn up to a KKK meeting because he's black. And it's Adam Driver who goes to meetings. The first half is funny, but it's not as funny as I thought it was going to be. And then the second half is just kind of hits you in the face. Especially at the ending when you just realise how relevant, you know, you're watching all of this, but how relevant this is in 2018 today. It's a really powerful film. Go and watch it. That has definitely gone in my top five films of the year. We should definitely do a rundown, by the way.
I wish you did in our roundup, television, everything.
An everything roundup. The other thing that I watched, which was a really... which has stayed with me as well, was a documentary called Three Identical Strangers. And it is about three triplets who are separated at birth. And then when they go to college, two of the three meet up. They didn't know that the other one existed. And basically what happens, and I'm not ruining this, by the way, because it's in the trailer. One of the guys goes to college for the first time. And then someone's like, yeah, welcome back. Can't remember his name, Steve. And he's like, I'm not Steve. I'm Mike. I really should have just remembered their names. And they're like, no. Pardon? And they're like, there's a guy who looks just like you. And then it made the national press that these two twins had found each other. And then the third, the triplet, was like, hang on a second, I really look like these two guys, because they're really distinctive, like black curly hair, like it's quite a unique look. And turns out these three triplets were separated at birth. And I was saying to Jack, I was like, they've just ruined the whole film for me. Like, but it's honestly not about the story of them finding each other. It's about why they were split up and everything that happened to them in their lives. And it's so dark is the word. I saw a lot of it coming, but weirdly that is not the interesting part of the story, that these three people got separated at birth and then met up as adults. That is in independent cinemas on release. If you're in America, it's kind of on YouTube and Amazon Prime and things like that, which leads me on, sorry, I'm just trying to be as quick as I can.
No, you go.
And during this documentary, the triplets went to Studio 54 quite a lot.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well, that looks fun. And then I saw that there was a Studio 54 documentary that's just come out, and I purchased it on YouTube of all places. And it was just incredible for all different reasons to the other two films that I've watched. But I mean, I just want to go out now. It's all I want. But I don't know where I'm going to find a discotheque quite like that. And it was all about the rise and fall.
Discotheque. Oh, my God.
I do want to find a discotheque, like, passionately. And it's basically Studio 54 was only open for 2 years, but it was all about just the impact it made, just the outlandish stories, and then also the demise of Studio 54. So I have had some absolute solid films recently. So that's Black Klansman, Three Identical Strangers, and Studio 54, the documentary, for a summary.
Wow. That is, I mean, there were so many thoughts I had then, but I didn't want to interrupt.
You can give them to me now in a summary if you'd like.
I mean, they just all sound amazing.
They're all incredible. And then First Dates is back, and it's now on a Monday at 9. I mean, I can't remember these new times.
Oh my, I know, I've been loving, oh my God, there's something else you've not mentioned. Have you mentioned? You have mentioned it. It's okay. I was thinking you hadn't mentioned Escape to the Chateau, and then I realised that you had last
week. Well, I mean, I did mention it last week, but I would love to talk about it some more.
Did I mention Dynasties last week?
What is that?
It's the new Attenborough series, but oh, it's exceptional, as is anything Attenborough does. But the penguins, oh, the penguins.
I've run out of descriptive words apart from incredible, amazing and outstanding.
I know penguins have a really hard time as well.
I could not be a penguin.
Oh, they just get it from all angles all the time for their whole lives, and I just think there's no let up.
I think it was just really fascinating to watch, and hopefully I'm not ruining anything here, but actually the film crew intervening, because, you know, I've watched behind the scenes Attenborough documentaries before where they've said, you know, we just won't interfere with nature, it is nature's way, for a film crew to step in and help the penguins was just, oh, it was just heart melting or heartbreaking, I'm unsure. There was just so many emotions.
Oh, it was so, so brilliant. Now, I highly recommend it, even if you're not normally, I don't know who would normally be into that kind of thing, but it's very good.
So I've been trying to show June actual animals. So we have this little basket of animals and she like picks them out and she says what they are and then she makes noises of, well, actually she doesn't make a penguin noise because I can't really do one myself. But I showed her penguins on YouTube because I was like, oh, I think it's really important that she sees what they actually look like. And she was just fascinated. Her eyes were glued. She was like, penguin, penguin. What else have you been watching? Anything
that
else?
Is it. I mean, I've been watching I'm a Celebrity every night, and If I Remember, First Dates, which is obviously my favorite, and yeah, nothing else that I wouldn't normally be watching though.
Can we talk about A Date on First Dates? I'd really want to talk about the I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, I'm absolutely sure that she identified as female. I hope I'm not incorrect on that one, but I really loved the date. He was pansexual, but what I liked was how they introduced it. So there was absolutely no judgments, and you got to know the people, and just the way that it was all kind of approached. I just thought for a mainstream audience, that actually was quite a good educational date in a way. Not that, you know, people should have to be educating people, but I just think that the way that they did it was lovely, and it was just so nice because there was no boxes, there was no lines, there was no kind of, they just liked people for who they were. And it just was another reminder with First Dates, as always, that you should never judge a book by its
and
cover.
I feel like it kind of brings back to what First Dates is about as well. It's just about people like hopefully finding love and being in love no matter what, like, and that it's not important or relevant. It's just people can love whoever they want to love no matter what, and that's quite, and it's just, I don't know, it felt like the real heart of what the program is about.
Yeah, that's what I love about First Dates. It just kind of gives me a reminder that, you know, on a very basic level, love makes the world go round.
Love is love.
However, if they give that guy, I can't remember his name, but he came on for a second date for the second time round because his first one went so badly, I think they're going to give him a third one.
Ooh.
I'm like, you need to send him on some kind of dating class because he just doesn't have any finesse.
Oh, I need to watch this week's one because I'm a little bit behind, but I'm going to take notes and be back with you next week on time.
Shall we move on to shopping? See, this is where we make up some time because I've not been doing that much shopping. We've been mainly buying paint because we finally painted some rooms in the house.
I loved seeing your bathroom when we recorded with our guests.
I'm so happy that I have a pink bathroom, finally. It's all I've ever wanted. So the bathroom's now pink. The living room is white. The downstairs toilet is white with... we need to add some stars down there, but more to be revealed. And then other things that I've bought is I've bought a towel holder for the downstairs bathroom, some glasses for Christmas Day because I'm hosting this year. So it's been quite a boring week in terms of purchases, but one thing I have bought just reaffirms my love for eBay.
What have you done? What have you bought?
Well, I've got quite a few saved searches for various things, which I won't tell people because I don't need the competition when it comes to bidding. But I just thought I'd have a little search on there for a Staud velvet pouch bag. Yeah. I've wanted one for ages. And there was just a little pink one sat there all by itself. And they'd actually spelt Staud incorrectly. Ugh. They'd spelt it Stroud.
Oh, genius.
I love it when that happens on eBay. So I just put a best offer in, got accepted, and it's on its way to me. And I'm so happy.
Was it a snip of the price?
It was a snip of the price, less than half price.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, when eBay just comes through and you're like, yes, I'm a winner.
You're like, this is why I'm on this site.
Oh, and then I've been thinking on eBay, I'm like, what else am I looking for? Because there's some things, as I say, that I have saved and I just keep waiting. It's been about 6 months now and I'm still waiting.
Got to keep checking.
Got to keep checking. That's the thing with eBay. You've got to be in it for the long run.
The real hard and fast. The long game. The long game.
Yeah. I'm a real eBayer. What about you? What have you been snuffing?
To be honest, I'm the same. I mean, I've got 14 people coming over on Christmas Day, and I've just kind of, do you know that panic hits in where you think, I've definitely not got enough of anything to accommodate for that many people. So we've been on a cutlery mission, which is as exciting as it sounds, but I can confirm that we found some great gold cutlery on Next after searching quite a few places. Gold cutlery is not cheap. You can't like find a good set of things for less than, I saw so many from £85 up, but I got a good set for 38. I think there's only like 16 piece. So it's,
I don't know how to break this to you, but I have some from Dunelm and it was £25.
Stop, recently?
I'm just on their website now because I have two packs of these from a shoot and they've still got them. If you did want to make a saving.
Okay, maybe I'll have to do that because you've still not got enough anyway.
Well, yeah, because I have, so 16 pieces, how many is that? Is
all
that
sets.
Four people? Yeah, so we have enough for 8 people. But when June grows
stop
up
it.
And starts
I can
using,
see them.
I was like, stop what? When June is allowed to use proper cutlery, you know, we don't have any gold cutlery for her. So I think I might have to buy another set.
Don't you hate it when you haven't got enough for your gold cutlery for your child?
I know. We actually got to the stage at, this week because when the glasses arrived, we actually laid a couple of play settings out to see what it might look like.
Oh, wow. Can I just, put for a disclaimer, say that the reason we have gold cutlery is because when we moved into our house, we found a set in IKEA that was the same cost as all their other cutlery. So it's not because I demanded it or I'm a princess.
I would like to say I have gold cutlery because I demanded it and I'm a princess.
Oh, that's fair enough then.
Just for a balanced view. That's what I was going to say. Can't you tell we're first-time Christmas hosters? Because the enthusiasm that we both have for plates, cutlery, glasses, chairs. Like, come back to us in 10 years' time, we'll be like, I don't care if the plates match.
The thing is, at the moment, our plates don't match. We haven't got matching plates. You've got cutlery and that's it.
I just need to source now more cabbage plates. I've got 6. But I need 8.
I think 8's a good number because that's just, it's not too many. Whereas I think you never need 14 of the same sets of anything.
Yeah, 14's
that's
tricky.
Don't live in a huge house, so it's not like, I mean, everything. It's going to be a real higgledy-piggledy Christmas, I keep saying. But like the kind of advert Christmas where people are on the sofa having dinner, you've got people on rotation. I'm quite looking forward to it for that reason.
Oh, it'll be marvellous.
Christmas is marvellous, isn't it? Whatever, you know.
Whatever happens. Sorry, I really interrupted your shopping segment then. Went off on one.
That's all right. I haven't done an awful lot of shopping, to be perfectly honest. I did order a pair of pyjamas this sounds excessive, as does any wedding chat, but for the wedding, wedding pyjamas.
I think, where did you get your wedding pyjamas
Daily
from?
Sleeper or Sleeper.
I didn't.
I know. It's so like unnecessary, but I feel like I'm more likely to spend a chunk of money on wedding pajamas than I am wedding underwear.
Well, exactly. Let's be realistic. What's going to get
well? That's the
again?
Thing. So I feel like, you know, I'd rather
she'll have a cotton briefs on and a fancy
that's
pajamas.
The thing. Which will Joe get more excited about? Not that I'd even do it for someone else, I'm doing it for me.
Shall we briefly introduce this week's guest? This is an interview that was taken place last week in Lincoln. I can't remember. Liv came up and we had the wonderful Sarita Challenger, who is the founder of Moss Moments of Sense and Style. It's a beautiful lifestyle company that sells very lovely things, notebooks, sketches, artwork, candles. But what is more beautiful than the products that she sells is the story and the reason why it was all started 2 years ago. So we really hope you enjoy it. There's a few tears. There was quite a heightened emotion that day when we recorded.
A lot of control. I feel like in this, I perhaps don't speak as much as I should because I'm just listening. She's so amazing and powerful to listen to that it was a real listener of an episode, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I also think with Sarita, it's quite easy to talk over her just because you and me have got such a kind of rapport, is that what they call it? We kind of generally know when to be quiet, whereas sometimes I think you, like you say, you kind of have to let the silences be just so that the conversation flows, because sometimes you can be a bit scared of silence, so you'll just like fill in, and then actually if you were to jump in at that point, you might not have heard the rest of the story. So basically, if you do hear any big clanging of silence, it's because we're being professional.
Yeah, that's okay? Exactly it. But no, she's amazing, and we really hope you love the episode as much as we did.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How are you, Sarita?
I'm good. I'm third time lucky. Happy
I
to
know.
Be here.
We're so happy to have you. We're like, we will pin you down. We will all do a date because, yeah.
It's what I like to call diary tennis.
Oh, God.
Sarita has the most incredible story about, I mean, human resilience, belief, love, everything. It's just the most, every time I see anything, Sarita, tearing up, I'm tearing up now. Every time I see Sarita post anything on Instagram, it makes me pause on my day, and whatever I'm doing, it just gives me a focus and to be grateful for everything that we've got in this life. I think your way with words, Sarita, is so powerful. I'm going to hand the mic over to you. If you could tell us a bit about your business and what you produce, and then we'll talk about why it started, and then we'll just interject with questions, hopefully okay. Not too rudely,
yeah.
Every now and again.
Well, it is quite an epic story, so yeah, let's break it down.
Yeah. If you haven't, at this point, I would probably suggest pausing, going to get a beverage.
Yeah.
And then coming back.
Because I think it's like almost like Desert Island Disco, you really want to savour, and that's why we were like, we really want you to talk, and not kind of be like, well, this is that, but on that note...
Where to start? Moss, Moments of Sense and Style. It's based on the old adage that a rolling stone gathers no moss. And our life before was always hectic, always rolling, always on the move. But life made us stop. And now it's time to stop rolling and take root and gather moss. So that's why it's a play on words. But it's broken down into Moments of Sense and Style because I want everyone to slow down and cherish all of those mundane, precious moments that we all easily ignore every day. Embrace your senses, and just because something's happened to you doesn't mean that you can't do it in style. So that's essentially the foundation of the brand name. And within that, we create lifestyle products that share our story and share our message of courage and hope and strength. and alongside them being beautiful wares that are made in England. But everything is to try and encourage everyone to slow down and carve out that time for themselves. There's just something about the pace of the world and our lives as they are now, we forget about all of the things that truly matter. So it's more than just a brand, really, and I hashtag that on every post because it really is. There's a lot of depth behind it because actually it's my heart on a plate, really.
That's what I mean when I say about everything that you post, it's so considered and you never shy away from that. You know, that is your message, that's your belief, that's your ethos, and I love every time that you come out on the internet to speak about the brand. You always, you never forget that. I mean, you can't forget, you know, what's happened. So can we talk a bit about your life before Moss?
Yeah, so life before living in Lincoln, I had worked in London, Manchester, Shanghai, and was in Hong Kong. And that's where I met Rob, which was lovely. We just became really good friends. We lived on like 5 minutes walk away from each other. So after going for food or meeting friends, we would always end up walking back together. And I think that's why we've got such a solid foundation, because before any of the romance stuff, we were just mates. We're both a little bit older and you kind of know what you want, don't you? There's no messing about. And Rob is a very determined man. And he was like, yes, I want to be with you and I want to move in with you. And here we are. So yeah, it's quite a lovely story as how we got together. And then we both had hectic jobs, so sometimes we wouldn't see each other for a while, but we would both be on the road travelling. Rob was a branding and user experience designer, so he worked with big brands to create retail interiors, everything from their branding through to the actual space and smell. So he had a really cool job and was at the top of his game. So
You got to do the smell?
Yeah, so
now I'm seeing how your
user experience,
how this brand, obviously,
picking up all the pieces.
Yeah, all the threads.
Both of your kind of history in career, like it all makes so much sense.
And that's when I say, when it's our hearts on a plate, it really is. Like it's just built from our.
That's incredible.
Worlds, really, and what we've been through before.
And then did you leave Hong Kong? Did you move to Australia? Or were you in Australia before?
Just to make things more complicated, we went on holiday to Sydney. And when I talked earlier about a role, our lives were hectic before, but life and tragedy made us stop. On the second day of the holiday in Sydney, Rob suffered a near-fatal brain hemorrhage and a stroke. And then that was like a life bomb. Everything just changed from that day on. That was the 27th of September in 2014.
Without making it about me, which I have done by interrupting, but I met you through my mum.
Yeah.
And obviously, I just know so much of what you've been through together. And it's just, you know, that day must have just been horrendous. No, that's not even the word for it. It's, like you say, life bomb.
Yeah. I don't even know how to articulate it very well, because you realise how far away Australia is when you have to pick up the phone. And it's a phone call that no one ever should have to make to Rob's parents and say, he's dying, he shouldn't be here. They told me he wouldn't make it, and then he was in surgery for 12 hours and he did make it. And in all of this, I'm still, you know, with my day bag, we're on holiday, so I didn't go back to the hotel, and I packed like a change of clothes and a book for him, thinking that, you know, we might be out by the end of the day. But I knew it was bad when they put me in the room. And I sat there for 12 hours. I was so lucky that my some old uni friends lived about an hour away, and they made it down and they sat with me towards the end of it. But then obviously it got to about like 10 or 11 at night and they had to leave, and the surgeon wanted to speak to me alone. And they took me to see Rob as he'd come out, and literally they hadn't even had time to shave his head properly. Like, it was just...
We have to get him in surgery.
And nothing prepares you for seeing that, even if you see it on TV or whatever. But there's something about the sounds and the smell of ICU. You wouldn't wish it. Sorry, intensive care unit. You wouldn't wish it on anybody. Oh, God. But what was it's even more poignant is that Rob and I spoke about the future the night before. And my fate was sealed.
Yeah, that was...
I wasn't going anywhere.
That's incredible.
And... they said he had 72 hours, so, and that was how long it was going to take his mum and sister to fly out. So I did not leave his side, and I chatted to him, and I read to him. I just talked absolute arse, like anything I could think of, just so that he could hear my voice and know that he had to hang on and that he was loved. And if he could just hold on until his mum got there. And thankfully he did. And it's still quite raw for me as well. Even 4 years on, like, I still find it a bit surreal.
Mm. Well, I think it's one of those things, you know, we all, if we watch a programme or a film and then we all kind of walk away and think how lucky we are and you know, what we sometimes take for granted in every day. And sometimes it's something, it is literally a story that jolts us into appreciation. But actually when it's real life, you know, a film or a TV programme come true, you're a nightmare, really.
Yeah, because none of us think it's going to happen to us. And it's always like an abstract thing that happens to other people. But yeah, when it's happening to you, it's quite something.
So how long was Rob in hospital for in Sydney? Was it quite some time?
So he was in a coma for 3 weeks. And then when he came round, we had to then think about what to do next. And once we got him out of the intensive care unit into a rehab hospital. And that was a challenge in itself, because when you looked at his scan on paper, no one would take him. So we had to find someone who was willing to give him a go, because he woke up without any communication. He couldn't speak, he couldn't read or write, and he was completely paralysed down the right-hand side. So it was like having a 6'3" baby. He had to learn how to swallow, how to chew, how to be in the world, and obviously didn't know where he was, what was going on. But he recognised me and his mum, and but apart from that, it was start again. So huge, huge life-changing stuff. And people use the term life-changing lightly, but this really, really
this is your whole world upside down.
And I mean, so you've far from
and
home
still at this
well.
Point, we're still on holiday. So obviously, home is Hong Kong. Family, my family, my sister and my dad came out as well. God love them. And we're all just in this weird limbo of like, what's
it's the unknown as well, isn't it? It's the kind of sudden change and then this dive into the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you're in a completely new place and it's just all these different factors that how can you adjust? Like, how can you comprehend?
You have to break it down. And we literally went from like minute by minute.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only way to get through. And a lot of the times I talk about taking things inch by inch, because literally that is all we can do. But then if you think about how much all those inches have added up and where we are now.
Those inches. I mean, if you see Rob today, it's...
Oh, my goodness.
He's a different man.
Yeah.
So he went into, as you say, rehab. No, yeah. Was it a rehabilitation?
Rehabilitation unit. And once he was settled there, and at this point everyone had gone home apart from Rob's sister, Kate. Mm. So I left Rob with Kate, and it was the most gut-wrenching thing to do. But at this point we're still living out of a bag and putting our head down wherever we can. Like, we ended up staying at like some weird university halls, and then we ended up crashing with some friends of friends. And like, all the logistical side of all of it was just intense. But I went back to Hong Kong, and in 4 days I just had to pack up our flat, go and speak to employers, try and tie up loose ends, and that was it. Like, I didn't really see many people. I just kept my head down.
Well, you've got a job to do, which was, well, you had, yeah, like, say, logistics to arrange.
And there was no goodbye. There was nothing. That was literally like, let's sort this out and get back to Rob and get him well enough, because no airline would take him at that point either. So we were stuck in Sydney for 3 months until Rob was well enough to be able to step onto the plane.
That's incredible. So, like you say, it's just kind of obstacle after obstacle.
Yeah.
You've got no experience in this whatsoever.
No.
So then after, is this nearly 4 months with the 3 months? Three weeks in the coma.
I landed back in Lincoln in December. So I've been in Lincoln 4 years in December. Wow.
I mean, Lincoln...
Obvious next step, you know.
No slight on Lincoln, but yeah.
Lincoln.
It's exactly the same. That's why I moved to Lincoln. I thought it was a lot like Shanghai. Yeah, just, you know, 24-hour city.
We'll put it on the map.
But the thing about Lincoln is, you know, it's lovely. And, you know, I've moved back here to be closer to my parents. But it's very sleepy. It's countryside.
As much as I resisted it, it's just what we needed. Mm. And we were with Rob's family at first. We moved in with them because, jumping ahead a bit, but Rob went into Lincoln County. and was there for a couple of months before going home. And that's when the real hard work started, because he had to learn everyday basic skills like how to make a cup of tea, how to shower, how to get dressed, and just start again, really. So yeah, it's been a mad old road. And at this point, we were still communicating through sketching, because I had to teach him how to draw and hold a pen again, because obviously he couldn't speak. And all of this, all these negotiations about, you know, Hong Kong life was over, what's happening to him, what's going on, explaining to him like what life was going to be like. Even everyday chat, it was all just through sketching.
Wow. So would you talk, or, and then he would sketch back?
Yeah.
Is that how it
and
works?
A bit both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, and also again, something else that kind of ties in, but you know, Rob now does these beautiful line drawings.
Yeah.
And it just, everything you're saying, it's just these threads that just run through your entire story.
Yeah, so he used to draw for necessity. That's how he communicated. And then it was more therapeutic, and now it's for pleasure, and it's his new path. Because sadly, going back to what he did wasn't an option. So yeah, it's incredible. He is incredible.
I mean, it's incredible. It's just having the self-belief, I think, from Rob's perspective, and just, I guess, having that positive outlook that, like you say, inch by inch, it's going to get better. Yeah. And it has. I mean, obviously, you know, you're nowhere near maybe what it was before, but it's so different now. You know, you're different people, isn't it?
And when we're still recovering and we're still learning, so only a year ago, Rob still needed 24/7 care. So if you think about that in itself, that's intense as well. So we're making progress every single day. And it's still rehab and it's still recovery, but it's us trying to live a little in around that. So it was a real challenge to move out and live independently. And we're doing it. It's not easy. And we have dark days. But overall, Rob's just happy to be alive.
Yeah. Which,
like, every new day is a gift. And I think sometimes it takes something like this to make you really take stock and appreciate that.
I just think it's so poignant when you say about making every, like, looking at all the inches, because we're so quick, I think, especially now, to be like, expect things so instantly.
Yeah.
And everything you're saying just feels so poignant, because you think it is so important to just appreciate things bit by bit and actually appreciate the end, like how they can tally up for this, like, the progress and the determination and the perspective to have that, like, I don't know, it's just so incredible.
But you've touched on some things, that we do have each other.
Yeah.
I push him, but he wants to do it.
Mm.
And I wouldn't be here without him, and vice versa. Yeah. So it's very much
effort. I suppose you seeing him with that determination and drive almost drives you, I suppose, to think, well, we both have to, like, if you want to, then my God, I have to too. Like,
exactly. And I'm not going to lie, I've had really, really dark times, and especially being in a city where I don't really know anybody, and God bless your mum and dad. So for those of you that don't know, they have a store in Lincoln, and that's how I got to know people. I would literally go into shops and just talk to whoever would listen.
And luckily you found my mum, and she probably talks more than you.
Just wonderful, open hearts, and I'm just really grateful that there are a lot of people within Lincoln that have taken me under their wing and given me somewhere to go and just talk, even if we just chat in the store that they're in. I've got to know all the independent shopmakers here and invest in the economy here, whether it be the cheese shop or the kids shop or like the clothes shop. I would just go in and chat to everybody.
You just need, I guess, every now and again, just to, like, realign yourself and just kind of get a perspective. I imagine, obviously, you're quite housebound, maybe not so much now, but, you know, accessibility, which you've talked about on Instagram as well. You know, not everywhere you enjoyed going before is accessible. So some of the trendier restaurants, the trendier bars, so you've constantly got to think about that, and that kind of made your world so much smaller. So
absolutely,
when you did get out, you just needed to freshen up.
Yeah, and more so, like, not only just to, like, know friendly faces, because it's lovely to feel part of something, belong somewhere. But also my home life was very much just focused on Rob, and I was trying to figure out who I was in all of this, and who is the Sarita who lives in Lincoln, and what do I do now? And I tried to find work, and that didn't go so well because, you know, Lincoln's not known for its fashion hotspots of employment, and going sideways on things, no door was opening, essentially. Mm. So, and then that made me think about what could I do on my own? And actually that's worked out a lot better because it works with our life as it is now.
So at what point was Moss a flicker in your mind and you thought, actually, maybe we should pursue this, or like, stop it, Sarita, stop being silly, like, we can't do this? So I imagine that was quite a conflict in your mind.
Oh, yeah. We're still living in Rob's parents' spare room. So four adults in a bungalow, especially going through what we're going through, it was pretty cosy.
Yeah, I find upstairs, downstairs is very helpful for space mentally. I lived with my parents, moved back in, and there's something about moving back in with your parents in a bungalow that's mm-hmm. particularly...
It's the bungalow aspect. Yeah. Because there's no compartmentalisation of space, really. So, yeah, it started in the bedroom, and I found a sketchbook with some scribbles of the idea of Moss, and I remembered that Rob and I had spoken about this in Hong Kong, because that's the kind of geeky things that we used to do, and was like brainstorm names and things, because Robbie wow. also used to do branding and actual full holistic branding for companies in Hong Kong that had so much money they didn't know what they wanted to do, but they would say, give me a name, give me a look. And so I would sometimes help him with that because I just like that kind of thing. And we'd talked about Moss and it didn't get used, and I didn't think anything of it, but our stuff would come out of storage, and I was going through it all, kind of like metaphorically and physically picking through boxes of like scraps of myself, and yeah. Had this like epiphany of like, this is what I can do, like maybe I can figure this out. And at first, like, I thought it was to do with baking. I went down a baking route. Ended up going to my cousin's wedding in France, and it was the first time I had a few days away. And there was something about the train journey and the smells and the sights and the sounds. And I travelled to Paris in my past life, and it's like smelling certain things took me straight back to those memories. And I thought, well, maybe that's what I can do. Came back, tried to figure out how I could do it, put the stories together of each scent of the candles, and... then pitched it to Rob and said, what do you think about this? And he burst into tears and was like, you've got to go for it.
I'm not going to burst into tears for a fourth time today. It's not going to happen. So tell me about your three scents. I have just lit. I've had this candle since the spring, but I was saving it for the winter because I wanted it to last me. And I've got scent number three, which is Doddington Fields on an autumn morning, which is, I think they all smell incredible. But this one, I think, because it's Doddington based, Lincolnshire, which is where I'm born and raised. That's why I love this one. But the other two are, I was going to make up kind of like loose names for them, but I'll let you tell me exactly what they are.
So we came up with the scents, and it shares our story through scent. So we met in Hong Kong, and number one is Wanda Tamambo Temple, based on this beautiful ancient temple that was opposite Rob's old work. Been there since the 1800s and just is clinging on. And loads of tower blocks have boxed it in, but it's still there, and you can still smell the incense all down the road. So that's what number one is based on. And number two is based on Sydney in springtime, because although it's a bittersweet memory, we still have a lot of time for Sydney. We had an amazing first day, and it was a glorious, clear day. And we had windburnt cheeks in the sunshine from riding bikes around the city. So that's what we've captured in number two. And number three, as you just mentioned, is Doddington Fields on an autumn morning, because I was a lost little soul and I didn't quite know what to do with myself. And sometimes I would go for a drive to Doddington, have a nice coffee. For those that don't know, it's a lovely farm shop that's in a village that's just outside Lincoln. And just wander around the fields around there, because I've got some nice walks, and try and take solace and have some Sarita time and figure out what on earth I was doing in Lincolnshire and what I was going to do next. But there's something quite lovely about it, because it smells like blackberries and wild fig and wet mulchy fields, but in a good way.
not dried mud on shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, or wet dog. Yeah, no, it does smell incredible. Well, it's funny you say fig. Fig's my smell. I don't smell like a fig, but I'm drawn to figgy smells. And then, obviously, what was great here, did your production background help you kind of bring the idea to life?
Yeah, I don't think I appreciate that the last 14 years... Oh, my God, I sound so old. yeah, that my experience of working in production has really helped, because it didn't faze me, like, searching for a factory and, like, negotiating quantities and things, because in production... volume is king, and obviously I was looking for 100 candles, so I had to do a lot of chatting, but found a family-run business who were willing to help me, because obviously I had nowhere to do this. I was literally just working from my bedroom at this point, and yeah, I just thought, give it a go, and it would be two at the weekend. Wow. So I started with that small run, and just built the website on Shopify, googled how to do some code, and just hope for the best and put it out on Facebook.
That's amazing.
And that's where we all started.
It's so hard as well, because I think so, like, you have this idea and it's just navigating it and actually get, like, there's so many components to starting a business, and it's actually doing it, which I think is so incredible, especially when you have so many other things going on that actually, I don't know, it's one of those things that we'll have these ideas and there's so many other logistics to it, but that kind of courage just to be able to put out there and see what happens. And
you know, and you've got 100 reasons not to. I'm sure time in the day was quite scarce as well.
I was essentially working when, like, in the evenings, and I still do that now. Like, I work around Rob's needs. He's the priority.
And then what other products have you got? You've got, I actually haven't got it here, but you've got some beautiful notebooks.
Yeah, so everything that I've created is aligning with what I needed as well when going through such a tough time. And the candles have come from not just sharing our story through scent, but I used to strike a match and light a candle, and that would mark my time. Because as a carer, as a caregiver, as a mother, how often do you sit down and have just time for yourself? And I just liked the announcement of that ceremony to myself of celebrating quiet. Even if it's just 10 minutes.
Yeah, but ceremony of quiet.
There's just something quite lovely about that, striking the match and lighting the candle and marking that time for yourself. So that's where the candles came from. And then within that, I've been journaling and scribbling and doing all sorts. Where I used to draw a lot, because I studied textiles and drawing and painting was my thing. And I still haven't been able to do that, even though I've encouraged it for Rob, but I've found solace in words. So that's where the notebooks have come from. So they're plain, so you can sketch in them if you want to, or you can write in them. But the notebooks seemed like a lovely fit and the next step. And they're inspired by each destination, so the colours match each place. So Hong Kong is pink, because we lived in a pink... You would love it. We lived in a pink tower block, and all of the concrete is painted in beautiful colours just to make it feel a bit more lively.
You are. I know you're not here to plug Hong Kong as a tourist destination, but you have sold it. You went back recently, were you?
I did,
yeah, I saw on Instagram. So when did you go back? Was it a couple of weeks ago?
I went back in the first week of November, kind of putting my old hat on, because as with any startup, it's slow. It's steady, but it's taking its time, and I do little projects on the side to keep everything going.
Have you been back to Hong Kong?
That's the first time that I've been back. So it's like picking a scab, and I love picking a scab.
I love picking scab. That's the best part of having a child, to be honest.
Where's the best part of having a scab?
You know that thing where it's like, oh, pleasure, pain, and then sometimes it's a little bit raw. And you're opening up old wounds. So it was challenging to go back. But I had to do something for me. I couldn't... Oh, who says no to doing that, first and foremost? But, I've given up so much and put somebody else's needs first for such a long time. And even Rob says it. He's like, it's time for you now.
Just going back to what you said, but you have each other. And I think, you know, the relationship that you've got that, you know... Obviously, what you've done for Rob is incredible, but the fact that he's like, you know, you take some time, he knows that you need that just, like you say, those foundations of the friendship and
Absolutely. I guess it shows that, sorry to interrupt, but I guess it shows that even through everything, the relationships are still give and take. Like, through
they really are.
Thick and thin, it's still about thinking of each other in whatever capacity, even if you have to think of the other person more because of certain things or vice versa. It's still about being, like, I don't know, giving in whatever way you can.
Yeah, and I think not taking the other for granted.
Yeah, completely.
And then I just want to just carry on talking about your products just for a little bit longer, just because, you know.
They're bloody brilliant.
I love your matches.
Thank you.
The box, I don't know. Like you say, the ceremony of taking time, but the box is just beautiful and it just says choose light. And every time I look at it, I also have a little card here from the John Lennon exhibition that just says breathe. But those two things, they're in my calm corner.
Which
I think is lovely. But and what's been brilliant is that you're now Rob's able. Let's talk about Rob and Art a little bit because I think you've expanded your product selection into selling Rob's prints, and they're really, really beautiful.
I mean, I'm really proud of all the products as they stand alone without knowing the story. Mm. But when you understand like what Rob's been through, and you know he's partially sighted, he still struggles with all sorts of complications. Yet his drawings are stunning. So I started off briefing him to, I didn't know how it was going to work, but I could see he was a little bit lost. And about a year ago, I asked him to draw each destination of each candle to give him a reason to get up each day. We all need a purpose, don't we? And he just blew me away. I had no idea like what they were going to turn out like. And then from there, he's just drawn other destinations that part of our story or other places that are important to us or places that we've travelled, and he's slowly building up an online collection of prints.
And he had a exhibition in Lincoln, didn't he as well?
Yeah, and that was wonderful for him to have a showcase. He was very professional about it, briefed me on what he wanted it to be.
I like all this briefing going on between you.
Power couple.
Yeah, it's very much like, oh God, it's going to sound like absolute wankers. But that is just the way that we used to work. Mm. And I think we were both so, I don't know how to say this. Work was very much part of our lives. Mm. And when you don't have that, you do feel like you're lost at sea. And I think, sorry.
No, it's fine. I read something the other day and I actually really like, wrong, and I think it was Laura Jane Williams said, if you didn't have work, who are you? And as a freelancer, I was like, I don't have an answer to that. And I think, whilst for some people have their jobs, they check out, they have their paycheck, and that's brilliant and it works for them. But I think there's other types of us who actually it bleeds into, and I wouldn't know what to do without my job.
No.
Without kind of everything that you've been through, I would still struggle. If somebody took my job away tomorrow, it would be a discovery process of who am I without that?
I mean, yeah. God, we're sidetracking a little bit. But, that brings me down to like identity and like, who we are.
Yeah.
Like, because I really did, I think the reason I went through such a dark time is because I had attached so much of myself to Sarita, the creative and the product development manager, like who came up with stuff, and that was, who am I without that? And I had to do a lot of soul searching that, yeah, there is a person in there who can be without the job title and without all the like societal trappings that we all get caught up in.
It feels like the easiest way to measure your value sometimes, because that's what you place on yourself, like you said, like that's what you put on yourself. So you're like, where's my value other than that? Like,
what about just being a nice human?
Yeah, or completely. Like, that speaks so much more.
Yeah.
We don't give it enough credit. We discount like the things that we actually have and the real value we offer and the real depth we have to each of us. We just discount that because it's like, oh, well, that's not my job. Like, I don't get paid to be a nice person. But actually, like, that's the foundation of you.
Yeah. Of humanity.
Yeah.
And I think we're all losing that sight of that. We're all getting so caught up in, like, the identity of who we are and the trappings that we kind of forget that deep down we all just need to be loved and feel connected to other humans, really. It doesn't matter about what you do or, like, what the job title is or where you live. Like, yeah. Sorry, I feel like I could go on.
No, it's fine. No. So just kind of thinking, what would be... Obviously, Rob has good days and bad days. Yeah. As you say, there's still, and we were talking earlier in the kitchen, sometimes I always wish we could record those bits. But, you know, sometimes that kind of knocks you for seven because you've had a really good run. You know, Rob's been in good health and then, you know, then he isn't. And obviously that just kind of pulls the rug from underneath you. So what is a good day for you? What do you find you enjoy in the kind of more simple pleasures of life?
Oh, wow.
Sorry, I've gone deep. Pretty much Parkinson.
On a good day, if Rob and I can spend time together, we'll have breakfast together and I'll be able to do a little bit of work, whether it's catching up on emails or doing orders that have come through. And then we just spend time together. And even if it's going to do this food shop, but to be able to do that together and have a bit of a giggle and just be in each other's company, like, it's just simple things, really.
Yeah, I love going to the supermarket with Jack and June. I hate going on my own.
Oh, yeah.
There's something, like you say, like, I just love it. We go on a family trip to the supermarket and it's fun.
Yeah.
That makes shopping fun. Like, yeah. You get to go in the middle of the day because, you know, we do freelance. It's quite quiet and we just have a bit of a...
Yeah.
Maybe we could meet in Tesco. Yeah.
A bit far for me.
Oh.
I like a food shop.
Yeah, but then on the flip side of that, we still enjoy going out for nice meals and going to galleries. We tend to go on little road trips and try and catch up with friends and explore bits of the country that we haven't been to before, or catch up with family. My family live in Margate, so it's lovely to go down there and soak up the galleries and all the lovely foodie stuff that's growing down there.
So we do enjoy
the finer things in life, but this is also another challenge, because you touched on it earlier about accessibility, that a lot of the places that we used to go to just aren't necessarily like set up or cater for people with mobility issues or full-blown disabilities, like not having a ramp, not having a disabled toilet. And it's all of these things that we just, again, take for granted unless you need it or it's not on your radar. And that's why I talk about it on Moss, because I feel quite passionate about having visibility for everybody. And to highlight the challenges that we do face, because it's 2018, almost 2019, and there are still places that don't cater for wheelchair access. So, yeah, even though we do love going out to certain places, it's just quite sad that our world is a bit smaller.
Yeah, I think, not that it should take me having June to notice, but that was the first thing I noticed as a new mum. And then that's the next thing I thought about. Well, actually, I'm just in this period of having a pushchair for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
People that have accessibility, you know, in wheelchairs and other things, they... Yeah, why? I just don't understand. Like, why? Well, it's probably a money thing, which is heartbreaking.
But then on the flip side of this, there was an article recently, and they call it the Purple Pound. So there are families, whether it be with a disabled child or whether it be a partner or something's happened to them, there's a lot of money for them to be able to spend on the high street, but it's just not available to them. And it's just really sad that that's still the case. I mean, there's a little bit of a shift now, but... just because something's happened to you or you've got something that impairs your life doesn't mean that you don't want to be a part of the world. And you shouldn't have to be in the shadows. And, yeah.
No, keep talking about it. Yeah, because I think when I've when I've logged into your Instagram stories, but you were talking about it the other day, and what are you on the hunt for at the moment? Are you a place in London that's accessible where you can have caterers?
Yeah, so we've got...
Use this and hopefully we can find you what you need.
Crowdsource this.
We were looking for a venue that could have an exhibition, and we wanted to get people together to celebrate our second birthday, which is coming up this weekend. And we don't have a big budget, so obviously that's restrictive, because there are galleries, I understand that there are places out there that do have access. But it's more of those like start-up venues, those middle... budget venues that we're looking at, really.
And I think just going back to money is really interesting, because yes, some places are accessible, but why should you pay a premium? I know we've talked about hotel rooms and things before.
Oh my God, don't get me started on hotel rooms, like, seriously.
Yeah, but it's just outrageous.
So hotel rooms, and I'm calling, I don't want to call out anyone in particular, but they charge per square metre. Therefore, a disabled room is seen as an upgrade.
Wow.
Regardless of the fact that it's a necessity, not a privilege to need, you know,
those square metres.
Yeah. I'd say 90% of hotels that we've looked at recently all come under that horrible, horrible bracket of overcharging.
So they don't...
They don't have an entry price point room for a disabled room or an access-friendly room.
Yeah, no, that needs to be talked about because that's...
And again, yeah, I keep talking about that because disability is not a privilege. It's, we are not upgrading. Like, this should be an entry price point for Absolutely. Someone who needs it. And I make hotel managers feel really uncomfortable. And I send very, very firm emails and I call them out on it and I ask them about it. And some of them will engage in dialogue or do what they can and others just point blank refuse.
I just don't know why you point blank refuse.
I can't, yeah, it is one of those,
it's one of those things where if it doesn't affect me, then
it is that kind of thing.
It's not their demographic and they, I hate to say it, they don't want people with a set of wheels kind of tarring their establishment.
Which is,
if let's just be frank about it, they just don't want people like that in their hotels or their restaurants. They don't want to be seen other than being she and cool. And a part of me wants to say to them, if you're not inclusive, just say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't try and
dress up as anything else.
Just say, we are not an inclusive establishment.
Which is, that's the thing, no one would ever say that. No one would ever come out and say, we're not inclusive, because then no one not wants to be told by that. But they think, well, why aren't you then? Like, if you're not saying it, but you still are, like, it's mind-blowing. It's like, like you say, we're going into 2019, and there's still people that are just like, no.
Let's keep talking about it. Let's keep shouting
making
about
noise
it.
About it.
We're going to have to wrap up, unfortunately. I could sit in this room for quite some... Well, I sit in this room anyway, but sit in this room with both of you for quite some time.
I feel like I've just been, like, soaking it all up, like, just listening, because it's just been so unbelievably... Like, there's... During you, like, sometimes you listen to something or watch something and you take a few things away, whereas I think everything you've said, I'm like, oh, my God, I can... Like, just so many profound things, but just listening to you... Is
Thank you.
I think,
and for giving me a chance to share it with your listeners as well. I mean,
it's been such a privilege having you chatting to us and sharing your story, honestly.
Well, thank you, because you don't have to share this with the world. You know, you've got a lot on your plate anyway. And I think that's what's incredible, is the fact that you're both willing to be vulnerable and say, hey, world, this is us, this is our story. And I just think that is the cherry on this already incredible cake. You don't have to share these things. It'll be so much easier.
Thank you.
Just not to, or, you know, not.
And that's something people take for granted, isn't it? Being open online and being open in general with different things that life throws at you. Like, no one's obliged to share anything. But the fact you are, the fact you're, you know, like, how many people must hear your story and think, oh my God, I'm not alone. And that community, and it's.
I feel so strongly about talking about it is because it's life and it's real, and I struggle to find any solace online. I was really seeking out other people to talk to, and I struggled. So I thought, well, if I share, then perhaps I can help somebody. Whether it doesn't matter what you're going through, it doesn't have to be big catastrophic, like crazy stuff that we've been through, but everyone's got their battles. So yeah, if it helps anyone get through their day, then I'm happy to share it.
Well, thank you so much. Can you tell everybody where they can find you online, because they need to be following you?
Okay, so Instagram is at Moments of Sense and Style, same with Facebook. We have a Twitter, which, if someone can help me out with Twitter, then...
This is your Twitter queen.
That would be cool.
She tweets more times than I pee, which is saying something.
More about television than he asks, so maybe I'm not the right girl.
but it's mainly Instagram or our website, which is momentsofsenseandstyle.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Same time next week, yeah?
Yeah, I'm up for this.
I would literally talk to you every week.
Let's just hang out all the time.
Yeah, I'm completely
as long as somebody brings your blueberry muffins.
I know.
Thank you, Sarita.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.